might want to think about as we deal with this Gemara on Daf Kuf Tesvav, starting in the last word of words of Kuf Yudalad Amud Beis. The Gemara there presents a machlokas between Rav and Abaye. We didn't do, those of us doing Yeradeh did not do Shechita, but it comes up a number of times in Shechita. Rav Kiv Eger, I think, quotes it. There's a machlokas whether Kol Milsa de Amar Rachmana Lo Saved I Ovid Mahani Ovid Lo Mahani. So if the Torah says not to do something, what if you go ahead and do it anyway? It's on Temura. I think it's Daf Hei. Daf Hei Amud Beis. Whether or not, if you do it, it is effectual. There is something of a there's a tiny overlap, but conceptually there may be a lot of, it's not the same thing, but a little bit of overlap, or more overlap with our sugya. The drasha of Rav Ashi of Lo Sochal Kol Toeva, Kol Sheti Afti Lach Arehu Beval Tochal. Now, the primary difference between the two sugyos is that our sugya talks about an isser violating. In some cases, perhaps that should automatically lead to an isser achila or an isser hana, perhaps. That sugya speaks about an isser being violated leading to the absence or the presence of a chalos. So, for example, the reason why that sugya is there, the starting point of the ending point of the discussion, not the starting point of the discussion, is the din of Temura. Temura, the Torah says that lo yachlifenu v'lo yomir oso to bara rabatov. If you have a behema that's a karbon, whether one you designated as a karbon or if it's b'chor and maser, you are not allowed to swap it out. Let's say you try swapping it out. What's the din? So the original karbon, nothing happens to, everything stays the same. The new karbon becomes a temura, which has some level of kedusha, not always the full level of kedusha of the original karbon. So this is an example of, and to top it all, the cherry on the icing on the cake is you get malchus. So obviously that produces immediately one interesting sugya about malchus for dibur as opposed to maisa, separate discussion. But here it seems to be a case of milsa de amar rachmana lo savid and I avid lo mahani. It doesn't work, or apparently it doesn't work. So the question is, how broad is the scope? In effect, it's the same thing as kol sheti aftilach, but that gemara is concerned about a chalos. Our gemara is concerned specifically about an isser achila and isser hana. Okay. Now, one other piece, and I assume some of you saw the Tosus that we started with on Tuesday, and it's an issue that's really going to reverberate throughout the entire mini sugya until the bottom of Kuf Tes Vav and Aleph, is to what extent is something prohibited, memela, as opposed to the outgrowth of an action? In other words, let's say I'm cooking basar in a pot, and a little birdie comes and picks up a piece of cheese and drops it in my pot. Is that basar b'chalav?
If it's not shish,
I didn't do it at all. So you're this. To get malchus, what do we say? I'll. That reminds me of al ritzichaso atahargo v'iatahargo al ritzichashoro. Right. So you're going to tell me that of course I don't get malchus because a little birdie dropped a piece of cheese in my pot. The question is, if lo sochal kol toeva is the product of Kol sheti avti lach, harei v'al tochal. So how was the Torah misa'ev basar b'chalav? Lo sevashel gedi b'chalev imo. Well, what if I didn't cook it? And the assumption of Tosfos is, the davar pashut, is that you're not allowed to eat it. I don't think anybody actually disagrees with it, but I think it would do us well to ask the question, how do you know? In other words, nevela is not nevela because we did something. I mean, it can be, but it doesn't have to be. It could be an animal that drops dead. Trefa is not necessarily trefa because we did anything. Many isurim are what they are, fundamentally having nothing to do with our particular interaction. And the Torah prohibits them. So I presume then that there's no difference whether an animal dies of old age or dies of some other natural causes or of an accident versus if I botch the shechita. Either way, it's a nevela and it's aser. But basar b'chalav, especially if you come at it from the angle of kol sheti avti lach, one might have thought that it is the Masa Avera which produces the Shem Isser. Now, Tosus assumes not so. as a very important mashal. I think we mentioned this at one point recently. The whole Ramosha's position on artificial insemination by an Ashes Ish. So Ramosha was attacked by the Satmar Hasidim over this because the Rebbe disagreed, not necessarily on the status of the child, but whether or not there was a particular Isser. Here the Satmar Rebbe actually was a biblical scholar and he had a very interesting creative reading of a pasuk in Parshas Achrimos, Avel Ashes Amisacha Lo Sitein Shchoftecha Lezara. It is kind of wild. But Ramosha said that even if the woman is an Ashes Ish, and the donor is not the woman's husband, the Mamzerus, and this point is almost indisputable, Mamzerus does not stem from the genetics or the genealogies. Mamzerus stems from the Masa Avera. And if there is no Masa Avera, the Vlad will not be a Mamzer.
Do you still say it was Usher?
I don't remember what... I don't know if Ramosha was very... I don't know where he exactly came out on it, but he's certainly... It's certainly not Usher Medina. Certainly not Asa Medina. There's a concern about knowing who the parent is and so on.
The machlokas, there was a machlokas because you have to know the fathers. That's where the Isser stems from the Sefer Chinuch. And then
no, you don't have to know. The only question I think is for Kahuna Zara Miuchas Acharav. I don't think there's any other shayla.
I heard Rabbi Kurski talking about this. He said that there was an Isser. Somebody wanted to bring an Isser from Sefer Chinuch, and that they either Rav Moshe himself or somebody responded by saying, well, we know, but we don't learn from Tamei Mitzvos.
You're not concerned about knowing who the father is. Okay.
Right.
So the assumption there is that the Masa Avera is what generates the Mamzerus. So one might have assumed here that it's the Masa Avera of Bishul Basar B'chalav is what generates the Yisr Achila and the Yisr Hana that generates the Toeva. And in the absence of such, perhaps it should have been Mutter. Now, Tosas does not say that, and I don't think any of the Rishonim say that. And there are plenty of other makoros the Gemara is going to present for the Isser of Basar B'chala, which don't necessarily tie it to that. In fact, put most simply, Lo Sochlu Chol Nevela, the way we suggested originally, Lo Sochlu Chol Nevela is the beginning of the Pasuk, Lo Sfashel Gedi B'chalemimo is the end of the Pasuk, and the entire parasha is Machala Sasura, so it's an Isser B'chila. It's not a function of a Maase Avera, it's just an Isser B'chila. What is striking is Rav Ashi's language, of kol sheti avtilach, either Ravashi or the Gemara, I assume it's Ravashi, of kol sheti avtilach, Rebbe Bal Tocha, which prompts the Gemara to ask from a whole series of Masa Averas. So you think it's the Masa Avera that generates everything. Okay. Anyway, with that said, let's finish off Tosus that we started on last Tuesday. Can I have a volunteer reader, please? Someone who hasn't read. Ari, go ahead. Kol sheti avtilach kuf tezav amin aleph. I like that. In the spirit of Nasa v'nishma, right? Where is Nasa v'nishma found? What parasha, by the way?
End of Mishpatim.
Don't say Yisro. It's the end of Mishpatim. The end of Mishpatim. That's right. Nasa this week. Next week, Nasa v'nishma. Go ahead. Kol sheti avtilach arev al tochal. So how are you allowed... How are you allowed to eat elim, in this case, or ayalim? It means that assuming that the guy neutered this particular animal, how is that different than basar b'chala? Now, I don't think, although there are many shittas, I don't think we assume that it's asur for a ben noach to be misaris an animal. There are various interesting shittos and different deos and chazal of those things that are asur to ben noach. There's a gemara in Giran Asher about the shloshim mitzvahs of ben noach.
Isn't there a whole sugya in Sanhedrin?
The main sugya is there, and I think Sirus is discussed there, but I don't think the Rambam paskins that way. I could be wrong.
I'm pretty sure the Rambam paskins that it's asur even for a goy.
To do Sirus.
To
go check. While we're going on, go check it.
I'm trying to remember where it is.
It's going to be in Hilchos Malachim. Yeah, and if it's going to be, it's going to be Mitzvah B'nei Noach in Hilchos Malachim.
No, you know, it's in Isurivia.
Okay, so go find it. So Tosfos says, even if we didn't do it, why is that different than Basa B'chal? Now, the Pashtus in Tosfos' question, what is the premise of his question? What's the premise? Spell it out, Yehuda.
Masa is not essential.
Oh, so let's start the following. It's also to be misaris an animal. The Torah prohibits it. But a Jew didn't do it in this case. Correct. Even though there was no masa aveira, Tosaf says just like basa b'chalav, it should be aser as well.
I found that I was wrong. Aser lomar l'goy l'saris behema shalanu, v'im lakecha goy me'atzmo v'saris l'samot.
Okay. So I think there may be a day in the Gemara about siris being aser l'vnei noach, a question of harba being aser l'vnei noach. Fine. So now what does Tosaf say in response? V'yesh lomar... ומאוח בחסוס ונעסוק בחרוס לא סקריבו אלא להשם ובארצכם לא סעשו. So the fact, and this is going to be one of the themes of the Gemara, the fact that the Torah says you may not bring it as a carbon implies that as a non-carbon it is permissible. If that's the case, it's mutter even if we did it. Even if a mas avera was done on it, there's a gzeres hakosov that indicates that it's mutter. Okay, but otherwise, perhaps it would have been Aser. Navim Tomar. Zorim Ozen Bechor. What's Zorim Ozen Bechor? Create a nick in it. Create a mum. Right? This is the great problem Kohanim have. They wind up with a Bechor, but they can't do anything with it because there's no Beis HaMikdash. So what do? So they... Oops! It got a mum. That's why the Kohanim were not Nemanim. To be Shochet, you know, today... the next kolo yeshiva starts is going to be the Yatir Bechoros kolo. Because we have a Yorah Yorah kolo, and we have a Yadin Yadin kolo, so we'll have Yatir Bechoros Yatir kolo. Right? There are three smichas the Gemara and Sanhedrin has in the first parak. Yatir Bechoros was not a real smicha in the classic sense, but it was a special reshus that you had to get from the Nasi in order to be Matir Bechoros for Kohanim, because if a Kohen brought his animal to you and said, I want to shech this, they require that he bring it to a Chacham, to end the Paskanei that it was mutter to shech, that the mum was a real mum, and the part of the Chacham's job was to say, let's see, how did it get this mum? Because the Kohanim often had an incentive, had a tremendous incentive. There goes Yubin. Okay, I see it already. The Kohanim had a tremendous... Any other Kohanim here? I always like to do a Kohen poll. Ben, you're the only Kohen. Oh. Ari, sorry, I didn't want to miss you there. Okay. The Kohanim were chashud on Bechoros. So let's say you go ahead and Yitzorim Ozin Bechoros. The Tosaf says that even if a guy does it, and you learn the Mishnayos and Bechoros, and if you didn't tell the guy to do it, then it's mutter. So the question is, and I believe the Gemara's Makor is Lo Sochal Kol Toiva, so why is it not Asur? Why is it not Asur to be Tzorim Ozin if a guy... with Tzorim Ozen Bechor, why is it not also to shech the animal? What do you do with such an animal, by the way? This is really the case of Nishtaher and Nishtahein, right?
Let it die.
What?
You
wait till it gets another mum, right? You can't bring it as a carbon anymore because it's got a mum. You can't shech it on this mum because it was an illicitly gotten mum. So then instead you would wait for another mum to happen and then the Kohen could shech it. Okay. What's that?
Barbed wire fence.
Yeah.
Whose rishus is it at that point?
Going. The Mishnayos talk about when you give when who's metapel and the bechor up until what age. Fine. So now Tosas got a question again. If the point is that when one of these things, and I think Tosas is sensitive to this issue, that if the problem with these things is something that's inherent, in effect, I don't want to use the gavra chefsa distinction, but it's something inherent in the object as opposed to how it came about. So why should it be mutter? How would we know? Again, it's either why should it be mutter, or how do we know that it's mutter? So Tosa says, V'yesh lomar. So what is the answer of Tosa? Ellie?
It can be a toiva because when it happened with no human intervention, it's perfectly mutter.
Okay, so when it happens with no human intervention, how do you know that there is such a category? I mean, physically I know you know, but how do you know that when it happens with no intervention, it's mutter? What? No, from the din of sharp sula hamukdashim, right? Ach kasheya chazas v'yisrael kein tochlenu, and one of those parashiyos Chazal understand. I don't know if you can prove it's pshuto shel mikra, but one of them they understand is the reference to sharp sula hamukdashim. Losa goes b'chor shonach. Losa, well, that's by tmimim. But the assumption is that one of the parshia, one of the pieces of in the parsha of Basar Taiva and Re'eh, which is sort of repeated, is a reference to one is a reference to Basar Taiva, and one is a reference to Sharp Suleh HaMukdashim. Right? Rak b'chalavastaf shecha, tizbach v'achalta v'asar, tizbach v'lo gisa v'achalta v'lo l'chlavecha. So that's the din of Sharp Suleh HaMukdashim, that the only thing you can do with it is redeem, after you redeem it, is to shecht and eat the meat. You can't do gizan avoda. If it dies on its own, you can't feed it to your dogs. It's asur b'hanah. So, Tosa says, based upon the parshan effect of Sharp Suleh HaMukdashim, which means the animal, Ellie, you agree there's nothing but fair Shabbat mum there?
No, it only says it by Bechor.
Says what by Bechor?
How far you have in
Oh yeah, yeah, yes, yes. V'chiyav amum pisecha komaral losis v'chan shalkecha b'sharacha tochlenu. Thank you. So there, it's that's better. Let's stick with that. That's befeirish. So if it has a mum, so then you're allowed. Then you're allowed to eat it. So if that means that there's nothing inherently abominable about an animal that was kachin that got a mum, so even if it's aser to be matel mum b'kachin, nonetheless. That's not going to render it a toivah. And the din is, what is the din if a kohen is matam when we said it's aser? But that's a knas chachamim. That's not a din daraisa. The iser being matam when bekachim probably is an iser daraisa. Not clear what the makar is, but okay. So we still come back to the original point of Tosis, which is very interesting, which is that somehow basar b'chalav we know, and we're not told how we know, basar b'chalav is somehow inherently considered a toivah, not as necessarily as a product of the circumstances which led to its creation. It could be that nobody violated an Isser, and still, it's Basar B'chalav, and it's Asar B'chila, and it's Asar B'hana. Okay. Now, once the Gemara now has established this Makar, now of course the Gemara is wondering, well, there are a lot of other things you're not supposed to do, and they produce products, they produce byproducts. What about, well, I don't want to, and that already means sort of biasing one particular way of reading some of the pieces in the Gemara, but now the Gemara is going to present a series of challenges from other areas of halacha where you do something you're not supposed to do, and yet the outcome is not as negative and doesn't stop you from benefiting from some of the things that are involved. So let's start in the Gemara Ari. On the bottom of Kuf Yudal on the days, Elameata. So Masa Shabbos, what is Masa Shabbos? So somebody's Mavasho b'Shabbos. The Tosefta I think is in Shabbos. There are three shitas amongst the Tanoim. The most machmir shita is Rabbi Yochanan Hassan, Lar, who holds. I hope you guys looked it up. It's either it's earlier in Chulin and it's Perek Meruba and one other place. I think. So there are lots and lots of Rabbi Yochanan Sandler holds that when it's done b'mezid, it's asur olam, it's for everybody. Rabbi Yochanan Sandler is the only one who holds that Maaser Shabbos has a shemetz of doraisa in it. Namely, if it's done b'mezid, it's asur olam, it's for everybody. But the isser is an isser achila, not an isser hana. How does he learn this isser? Ki kodesh ilachem, just like kodesh is asur, so too Maaser Shabbos is asur. The other Tanai and Darshan, something like Lachem, that it still belongs to you, it's still mutter for you to eat, and so on. And then there's a machlokas to the extent of how much the Chachamim were kones. Rabbi Meir is the most makel. Rabbi Meir says that if you do it b'shogeg, it's mutter on Shabbos, I think even for him. I don't remember. Okay, so Rabbi Meir holds that if he does it, if it's done b'shogeg, I think on Shabbos, not all of this is spelled out in the Braisa. The Gemara has to fill in a little bit in terms of others versus himself. But Rabbi Meir holds that if Masa Shabbos is mutter, I think even for him on Shabbos. Rabbi Yehuda says that it's always usher for the guy on Shabbos, at least till after Shabbos. Rabbi Meir says if it's b'mezid, it's mutter after Shabbos. There's a discussion whether you have to wait b'chtei shiyasu. The Rishonim, I'm pretty sure, who say you don't because we're not gozer b'chtei shiyasu because it's not typical that a Jew does malach on Shabbos. It's a milsa de lo sheicha. I know you don't start asking questions about this. You'll ask me why they make a knas in the first place. All right, I could see that. It's already coming, right? Why make some things but not others? And then Rabbi Yehuda's lulam or machmir. If it's done b'mezid, nobody else can eat it until after Shabbos. He can never eat it. But they basically hold it in issa d'rabbanan. So the Gemara's question is, why is Masa Shabbos not asur? The Torah is misayivit. So therefore, Masa Shabbos should be also for the starting point is an Isra Achila, and it's not except for according to Rabbi Yochanan Sandler. Emmanuel?
Wait. According to Rabbi Yochanan Sandler, it's an
Isra Daraisa? It's an Isra Daraisa Achila, one done Benezid.
But
Bishoge? In Bishoge, he holds not. So the Kasha could even be according to him. In other words, if you accept Tosfos' premise that it doesn't matter how it comes about. Now, again, it's hard to imagine. See, this is the difficulty with what Tosfos says. Could anybody conceivably think that Masa Shabbos should be usher if it happens Mamela?
No.
Correct. In other words, it's intrinsic to the definition. Intrinsic to the definition is that it requires malacha being done. Right? It's that somebody does malacha.
Let's say some non-Jew does it, but with like a Jew that turned off the stove before Shabbos and then.
That's a tangent. The point is that Masa Shabbos clearly is a function of the Masa Avera. So again, you wonder why does Tosfos insist that the Masa Avera is irrelevant in determining whether Basa B'chal V'Zaspana, and in his Kasha, not in the Maskana, in the Kasha, why by Sirus and why by Tzorim Ozen B'chor, why does Tosfos think that the Masa Avera is totally irrelevant?
Betzala? If your Shvisas, if your animals, it also has to be, you can't have your animals do Malacha, but they
for
be,
you.
Yeah.
Okay.
So say like you've got to take the seed pack off of your, you know, ox before Shabbos, and it, you know, got free and started laying seeds throughout your field.
Gotta find me an ox like that. I understand. So we could still, now the Gemara's Kasha could be asked on that as well, but in other words, that still doesn't mean that because it happens in Mela, there you violated an Isser. I'm not saying that you can't violate Isurei Shabbos passively. You certainly can. Shvisas Behemto is certainly a passive violation. Maybe even Shvisas Ger Toshav could be called a violation, but it could be called passive. I'm not saying you can't have a passive violation of things related to Shabbos, but fundamentally speaking, you are doing something wrong. I don't think we say if your ox, obviously it wouldn't be the Chamor Shel Pinchas Ben Yair, because even if you asked him to do work, he wouldn't do work for you. But let's say you have an ox that's well-trained and goes into the barn and puts its yoke on Shabbos. I don't think we would say you violated anything there. I don't think you have even a taint of Avera. It's like, if your ox is that smart, again, if you have an ox that's smart, send them my way.
If you had a donkey that's already harnessed, then the ox comes in and harnesses itself also.
You have a fertile imagination. Emmanuel and Achayim. I guess I deserve that. Yeah. I haven't said a word about that right now.
No, I'm saying, but if you did assume that,
as opposed to the Isser Bishul.
Or even if you assume that it's equal to the Isser Bishul. I'm saying things by Shabbos, even if you say it's Asur Doraisa, it's not Asur Mitzad Atma, it's Asur there be Mitzad, the fact that there was Maisa Avera. It's the same thing on a regular, but I'm saying if you say that the Iker Isser is the Isser Achila, or one of the,
I agree with you 100%. I didn't have a problem with saying nevela is also no matter how it became a nevela, even if it happened mamela. My point is that the formulation of kosher ti'avti lach, harei b'val tochal, the way that's understood, I think that's the way Rav Ashi understands that expression, kosher ti'avti lach, as I told you, lo sevashel gedi b'chalevimo, and if you did it, it's a toeva. That's where Tosfos is coming from. That's my whole point. That's where Tosfos is coming from in that Dibur Maskil. So, once you say that Basar B'chalav is in fact a byproduct of Kol Sheti Avtilach, well, who told you in the first place that it's really Usur if it happened Mamish Memela? We accept that Lahalacha, but maybe, you know, at this stage, how do you know that? You know, unless you'll say, because the Mishnah said, Tipas Chalav Shenaf Lahalachaticha, not Shehipila Alachaticha. Okay, but that's drush. Alec?
No, in terms of Bishul Shabbos, wouldn't it still be an issue of Nola?
That's the Rabbanon. Just leave it. That's totally the Rabbanon. It has nothing to do with this. That's completely the Rabbanon.
Well, but if I cook on Shabbos, aren't there some Tanaim that say that the only issue is the Rabbanon?
Of eating it?
Yeah.
Yeah, but we're not talking about Issur Rabbanon right now. The point is that it's Mutar Midaraisa. Okay? And that's a big if anyway. Okay, so now, whether or not null that applies to that. So now, the Gemara says, Ma'aseh Shabbos Litzru, Datiyafti Lechu Sa'amar Kra. Go ahead, Ari. Shabbos is holy, but not its byproducts. Okay. So therefore, Shabbos is what?
That's the opposite Jasha from Yochanan the Sandler.
Yes. Yes.
Doesn't sound very Kabbalistic.
I think so. Ushmartem es Shabbos ki kodesh lachem. Yeah. Achas diber en lakim, shtayim zo shamati. Okay.
That's good for this week.
Zo. I think so. You'll check it. Fine. So now the Gemara asks. Or Rabbi Meir. Or arguably even Rabbi Yochanan Hasandler, who says that B'sho... Again, that's where you have Tosis comes in. Would it be Akash according to Rabbi Yochanan Hasandler if it were, you know, the fact that he's Matir B'shogeg? So I'll put aside Rabbi Yochanan Hasandler. Let's leave Rabbi Yochanan out of the picture. None of the B'shonim that I saw, I don't think anybody comments on this particular aspect of it. Okay. So, yeah. Zoo. Okay, there you go. Remember when you get married. Oh, you're married already. Fine. All right, go ahead. So next one. Okay. So there is... What are the prohibitions here? What does the Torah say? It's worth noting, repeating what Rabbi Nagin said. I spoke about it the Shabbos. The Chazal did know Tanakh, and Torah Shebaal Peh frequently is a commentary on Torah Shebichtav, even when it's not obvious. So you should know the Pesukim. It's a good thing. Shnayim Kavecha Targum is a mitzvah. Okay. What does the Torah say about plowing with ox and donkey together? What does the Pasuk say? Lo Sacharosh Bishor V'Chamor Yachdav. Okay, it seems to be related to a offshoot of the Isser of Kilayim, right? The next pasuk is Lo Subash Shaneis Temer Fishtim Yachdav. What about Hosein Pifara? Maybe even more important Lo Saseh, maybe one of the most important Lo Saseh in the Torah. You wonder why I say that. Lo Sachsom Shor B'disha. Why is it so important?
It's the source of Malkos.
It's the paradigm for Malkos, okay? Because it immediately follows the parsha of Hayam Ben Akos HaRasha. So the Gemara says you're not allowed to plow with a shor hamor, and you're not allowed to be chosein pipara, and to be dashba. It only applies when the animal is working with produce, either mechuba lekarka at the stage of gemar malacha or betolish min hakarka. Well, it may apply always betolish min hakarka, but there are more complicated issues there. You're allowed to muzzle your ox when it walks through the shuk, right? Right. You know that because... Well, yes. You know that there are times you're allowed to muzzle your ox, right? That it shouldn't be roe b'sado shalachayrim. So it's only b'shas malacha under certain circumstances, certain kinds of food. So let's say you violated that and you did it. Or let's say you're charish b'shor hamayachdav. So what should become aser? So there are two girsaos in the Gemara here. If you look in the Kisveyat, actually, I believe they're evenly split on this one. They don't fill in, none of them fill in what should be aser, but it's the answer to the question that tells you what the question was. So what are the two choices? What should be aser?
The animals
or the produce. What are the arguments be in favor of either particular one, or the cons, pros and cons? Patel?
Well, I understand the produce one much more, because that's the product of the harisha, while the animals didn't really change based on the harisha.
Okay, so the intuitive argument would be that you're talking about the produce because, after all, the animals are the same animals that were there before you plowed and after you plowed. Okay, is that a compelling argument? Not really. If you worship an animal, it can become asur b'hana. Right, in other words, a thing's status can change even when they're ben. Ben? Well, no, when you say if it's kalayim, well, you'd say if you're marbia two animals. So for starters, I could say even without offspring, I could say harba certainly creates a change in status like avoa minimally, and if there's edim for hedyot also, that will asur the anabana will kill it. And if it produced offspring, obviously you could certainly understand that, but that'd be more analogous to what grows. So it's not impossible to say that it's talking about the animals themselves.
If you're maybe two animals together from different species, you'd have to be killed.
No. I meant with a human being. It could be killed. My point was simply that you can have something where the animal's still there. It's essentially physically the same animal as before, yet its status has changed.
Both of Zara and both the woman are different, or the person are different reasonings, because the Marbi with the woman, you need a specific svara and all the drushes there.
You don't need a svara?
It says because you shouldn't want the person.
No, because the Torah says kill the animal. That's why you don't need a svar for that. You can give it. You can give what?
Where there is time in the car there.
I don't know if we always dorish time the krav, but that's just
we have a specific. I think
it's either because of takala or because of busha,
right.
One of the two. But either way, the bottom line is that the status of the animal changes, and even if you don't not killing anybody, it changes like avoa. So in other words, you can have an animal status change. Through actions that human beings do that don't fundamentally change the action. Obviously, when we talk about being osa davar she'eino shelo, in order to asur something that's not yours, you have to do a maisa and change something in it. Whereas if you're mishtachav al behemas chaver, you're not osur it because there's no maisa. But mishtachav at his own behema is osur it, right? So you don't always have to have a physical action that changes the animal in order to declare it osur. So it's not compelling to say that it has to be that which is produced. And I would make the following argument also. I hear by Choresh B'Shar V'Chamor more easily saying that which grows. But by Chosem Pifara, what exactly have you done there? What's that?
The focus is on the animal.
I forget. The point is, you have grain. Yes, you've threshed the grain, so now the kernels are separated from the stalks, but you didn't create anything.
Well, isn't that a classic issue of Gaur?
That has nothing to do with this. That's for Hilchos Shabbos.
That's for Kolshet Tiafilach. You wouldn't apply the Surim of Harba and Avodah Zarah, or even it's already a stretch for Mosafim to say that somehow the product is different because of the.
Correct. It is a big stretch. I'm not even sure you've solved the problem by transferring it to the product. That's my point. I understand by Lo Sachosh B'Shar V'Chamor Yachtav, that which grows, certainly, you know, one of the components that went into it was the work of the Shor in creating it, the work in the Shor and the Chamor. Okay. So anyway, so what is the Gemara, what is the Girsa that we have in our Gemara? Right, Tosfos, I had a lot of trouble reading Tosfos because I read our Gemara, and Tosfos tells you that the Svarim the Garsi, and I still had a hard time realizing that it was completely different than our Gemara. So what is Tosfos, what does our Gemara say? What's the answer? Ouch. What does the Gemara say? What if Shabbos, which is so chamor, that is an Isser Skila, and still Maaseh Armutarin, so Chosem, what's the punishment for Chosem Pifara? If you don't know the answer to this question, get out. Malkus, of course, we just said. That's the paradigm for the kind of law that gets Malkus. Okay, what about Lo Sacharosh B'Shar V'Chamor Yachdav? What do you get for that? Malkus, right? Any Misa? Any kares? Any misa bidei shemayim? No. Just malkos. So if Shabbos, which is an isur skila, it's chamira, you don't get the masim amutarim, so kavachomer here. There's a little problem, guys. What's the little problem? You see?
By that logic,
Basar Bechol should also be. Now, you probably didn't prepare and didn't see Rashi, but Rashi asked that question. Rashi says, Hani lo kol shekein, read it, Ari. A first narrow line in Rashi. It's sort of, as soon as you see that line in Rashi, you're supposed to stab yourself and say, well, why didn't I think of that question? Because the question is so obvious once you see it. So Rashi says, Umistabra, the next line. But you can finish, keep reading. Fine. Haksiv. I I don't really know what that means. I understand Rashi's question. I also understand as Rashi hints to the fact that umistarba di sur de kralea kamar, the pasuk has to be going on something. Right? If you eliminate everything with this Kal v'chomer of Shabbos, then you're going to wind up with the kasha as you have originally. What does lo sochal kol teva apply to? But Rashi says that by choresh chosem pifara, you're not eating the chasima. By harisha, you're not eating the harisha. And by bishul? What? Are you eating the bishul?
No.
What does it mean?
The results.
Thank you, Chaim. So you could flip the words around. You're not. Tosa Rashi tries to get our problem by saying you're not eating the physical action.
But the focus is on the bishul as opposed to the iser by when you're by.
So it's sort of like Tosa says already that you're chosem. You're not chosem the stuff that grows. You're not chorish the stuff that grows. You're chorish with the animals. You're not chosem the grain that you're threshing. You're chosem the para. Bishul, you're cooking the basar b'chalav. I mean, it requires still a little bit of refinement, but Rashi sets up the distinction so nicely. You know, and Shabbos. Tell me, what about by Shabbos? Right, by Shabbos. If I cook on Shabbos, I'm not allowed to cook on Shabbos. Am I eating the cooking? Not in the English melitza, but am I eating the gerund, cooking? Right? The answer is no. I'm eating the stuff that I cooked. So basar b'chalav is the same thing. Now, there is, but yeah, Avigal.
There's a difference between in bishul, immediately after you finish the masa, you have the item you need it, as opposed to harisha or chasima, where you have to wait a while before you can.
I don't agree with you on the chasima. I'll agree with you on the harisha. Except that, but what about Shabbos?
Well, no, but even on the chasima, why not?
Well, because you know, if he wants to be koseis as achita, the klayos are now ready to take, pick up and eat.
But
before you pulled it out of the stalk, you couldn't do that. It's kind of hard to chew through the.
We do generally, but so what? Before you eat it.
So what? But even if I accept your premise, Shabbos. Mm-hmm. Shabbos, the bishul on Shabbos, the same as the bishul on Basar B'chalav. So that's really.
Maybe that's kind of going back to whether the Iker Isser is the Achila or the Bishul.
But right now, it sounds like the Isser. Rav Ashi, again, I reestablished that premise where I said to Emmanuel, Rav Ashi sounds like it's the Bishul. Right? In other words,
if it's the Bishul, why were you Motzi Bishul, Achila, but they're a Bishul, and all these things is that, you know, even if the Iker Isser is Bishul, it's still Bishul that will lead to an Achila.
I agree. Kol sheti av. Exactly, but that's fine. My point is, though, hadron koshila duchta, how do you know that the Isra Achila isn't an offshoot of the fact that you violated the Aver of Bishul? Of kol sheti avtilach.
The question is, what is the toeva? So on Shabbos, the toeva is clearly not the product. Well, here the product is what is disgusting.
But how do you know? In other words, that's circular. Right, and in particular, Rashi invokes the logic that it's not the chasima, it's not the harisha. Right, you'll tell me on Shabbos it's not the bishul.
What is the toeva? It's not the bishul. On Shabbos it is the bishul. That is the toeva,
And all the Torah says, the way Rav Ashi presents it, and the whole sugi is constructed around the premise is that the iser is the bishul. The Torah said not to cook it, and when you do violate something the Torah tells you not to do, the thing, the byproduct,
if
becomes Aser Bachila. Well, I know that, but that's, you're not answering my question. You're ignoring the whole Gemara. Right? The whole Gemara, the whole premise of this, the 6-7 questions they ask, X should be Aser, Y should be Aser, Z should be Aser, is premised on the fact that you did something you're not supposed to do. And now it's also to eat it because you did something you're not supposed to do. What you did in Basar B'chalav, what you did that you're not supposed to do that generates the Yisr Achila and then maybe Hana is cooking it.
Aftilach is saying you did an Yisr, meaning.
But isn't the Gemara's question, right? Isn't the Gemara's question premised upon that? That's the whole thing. they pick on a whole bunch of things that you do that you're not allowed to do, and what happens with the byproduct? So my basar b'chala, that was the central point I was attempting, and probably not clear enough to drive home at the beginning, and I didn't say it as clearly. We've spoken about in the past, bishul versus achila, what's the ikar? Rav Ashi's presentation, and again, Rav Ashi says, lo sochal kol toeva. I don't know who said kol shetiafti lach. I don't know if it's Rav Ashi or the Gemara, but either way, I don't really care for our purposes. Whoever said that line was viewing basar b'chala fundamentally starting out as an iser bishul. So I was bothered by Tosis' question in the first place. How do you know that it's aser memela? How do we know that it's aser memela? Maybe it's not aser memela. Maybe for Elim, that's Shasir San Goy, if there's no Isser for Goy to do it, maybe for an Ozan Bechor, when Srama of the Kochav, there's no Isser for Goy to do it, maybe Tak, it's not us, shouldn't be Usser. You don't have the question. Who says that Basar Bechalov should be Usser when it happens Mamela?
My only answer is that Misvara, is that the common denominator is that they are all, there is a Toyeva involved in all of them, and therefore they all should be Usser Bechila, but that the obvious toeva that's going on in each situation, Basar B'chalav is the only one where the toeva is, even though it's a result of an action, which the common denominator is not the Isra action, it's what is the toeva. The toeva by the, I mean, it kind of has to do with what is.
See, I think that we are trapped in our minds because we know, because Rav Ashi's is only one makar, and there are many other makoros, and I would say that many of the other makoros effectively regard it as machalos asuros more than a byproduct of the Yisr Bishu Basar B'chalav. But the pashtus in Rav Ashi's statement, and the way the Gemara seems to take it, is that it seems to be an offshoot of the Yisr. I'm not going to be so bold as to say that maybe Rav Ashi really held that when it happened, Memela was mutter. It's hard to say that. I don't know, because I'm trapped in a particular mindset, as is everybody else.
The reason is because the outcome is a toeva in itself.
But you only assume that because you're thinking of everybody else.
Right, but even within Rav Ashi, we're going to assume that at the same time.
Then what was the kasha in the first place from all these things in the Gemara?
Because those are all also toevas, so they should.
No,
also,
but maybe the toeva is only the action, not the outcome.
The toeva doesn't have to do with what the action. It could be an outcome or an action. That's the point, is that it could be.
But we're concerned in this Gemara always about the outcome. In other words, when we say Masa Shabbos Litzaru, you're going to get Misa or whatever you're going to get for having done Chilul Shabbos, but we want to know, can you eat the byproduct? Why not? But according to you, you're saying it's not even a question. Think about it some. Emmanuel.
No, but that's the whole point. By Shabbos, there's a kasuv, but we
learned that
it's different.
Exactly.
So,
But the Gzeres HaKasav is telling you, you weren't supposed to do it, but the thing is mutter.
Right. So that's
the finish. But how do you know, so by Bishul Basar B'chalav, you weren't supposed to do it, and if you do it, the thing is?
Usser.
Yeah. What happens if a little birdie does it?
Well, I know, I'm just saying, based on this whole logic so far, I don't see what the problem by Shabbos is, just because Shabbos is also where you're...
I agree with you. But I want to argue that, at least it would seem, until we figure out a way around this, that mitzad the iser basar b'chalav, the way Rav Ashi presents it, maybe it wouldn't be usser if it happened to Memela. What's that? Agreed. That's the part that we're wrestling with here. In other words, I think Rav Ashi may not be the maskana, maybe he never even meant it, but it sounds like when it happens to Memela, maybe it really shouldn't be usser b'hana, an usser b'achila. Okay. Clearly Rav Nachman didn't think so, because otherwise he would have told Yalta to have a goy cook it. Okay. Anyway, whispered in a guy's ear, sang a song. Fine. So now, the Gemara goes on. So now, what is the alternative girsa here? So let's wait on Tosis for a moment. This is just Rashi's girsa. Let's read it with this. Now the Gemara continues. We'll come back to the second way, because the truth is, this kasha, the Gemara, is going to present more problems. All right, go ahead.
Sorry.
All right. No, that's not what Tosis is. Tosis says is what is the law focused against. So Tosis says that it doesn't make sense to Aser. Tosis wants to know, according to the Girsa we haven't seen yet, that maybe the byproduct should also be Aser. On the assumption that the question of the Gemara is, that Chose and Pipara and Vidashba and Chosh B'Sharav Chamar Litzru refers to the animals, not the byproducts. Tosa says, why not the byproducts also? So Tosa says, because that's the part you're talking about? Third of the widest lines.
End of
Choresh?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, he's working within Rashi. Bishul Shoshabas Toeva Gufa Kemo Bishul Shobasa Bechalav. So Tosus has to, yeah. So Tosus really now has to go out and say, ah. Tosus is then pulling a bacon, right? No, now he's pulling Betzalel out of the closet and saying, oh, but really it's something inherent in the Chevtza. Right? But that undermines, yes, Tosus did the same thing in Kol Shetiavtilach. Right, but that's not really where the... In other words, it's exactly that. Tosa is saying, you know what the difference between Basar B'Chalav and Shabbos is? Shabbos isn't Nikar. Why? Because Shabbos is no... Because the Maseh that you did on Shabbos is the same Maseh you could have done during the week, and when it was completely Mutar, and you can't tell the difference between the two of them. As opposed to Basar B'Chalav, which is always Basar B'Chalav. But again, I could have argued the following. Maybe Basar B'Chalav is only Aser when a person violates the Yisuf Lo Sfashel Gede B'Chalav Himo. In which case, really, it's not inherent in the Basar B'Chalav. You can't tell the difference between Basar B'Chalav that I cooked and Basar B'Chalav that the Nachri cooked. So in other words, it's circular. Once you start with the assumption that there's something inherent in the Chavtza, well, of course, if Basar B'Chalav is Aser under all circumstances because it's not purely a product of the Masa Avera, but it's a product of being... So then, it's different than Shabbos, I understand, but you've already factored in the answer into the, you know, your assumption into the premise of the answer, an assumption that I've questioned within the context of this sugya. Okay.
I don't understand the problem with having the assumptions.
You don't understand?
Why you can't have the assumption with the whole sugya?
Because I think Rav Ashi's drasha is saying something else. Rav Ashi's drasha is saying the way I started, the Masa Avera is what generates the Isra.
Just look at it as something which is inherently like abhorrent.
It's not inherently abhorrent. It's inherently abhorrent because the Torah said, "Los vashel gadi b'chalevimo."
But don't say the reason is because there's an iser. Meaning, say just from accepted.
But that's every question, every kasha in the Gemara, Kuftes Vavam and Aleph, is based upon you did X, you weren't supposed to do it. Why isn't it aser? You
no,
did what?
Each one is abhorrent sometimes it's abhorrent because of
Sam, can you talk to that? No, I'm just kidding.
I don't understand why you can't say that if the action is abhorrent and you could easily compare it to an outcome which is abhorrent and see they should all be under the same category of now something is going to be usher as a result of that.
Yes, but what if there was no abhorrent action then?
You'll still have an abhorrent result.
What?
Because something is abhorrent in Losav Hashal Gadi B'Chalevimo.
Yes, you are cooking it. You know, Luyum Su Avos Haban Avonim Luyum Tzol Avos is inherently morally abhorrent, except for when God does it. So if God made the little birdie carry the cheese and drop it in the pot of meat, who says that's abhorrent?
There's not a shachar protest for birds.
But what about if it's nechasim of mine? Okay. Anyway, I see, well, maybe tomorrow morning we can, you know, do 15 rounds on this one. I'm not understanding why you're not willing to acknowledge you're starting with a premise that Basar B'Chalav, the product, is inherently abhorrent. We don't know that. Let me ask you a question. According to the Man D'Amar, that it's Mutar B'Hana, is it inherently abhorrent?
It's abhorrent in the extent that it's Asher
B'Chila. Okay, but you notice that we're sort of started knocking it down a level. Like somebody could have conceived that it is not so inherently abhorrent.
Well, something either the action is not going to be as abhorrent, or the result is not going to be as abhorrent.
So my point is that I think that right now in the sugya, the focus is on the action, and again, there are other deos. We saw on Kuf Yud the Gimel that there are deos that the Ikar Isser is the Bishul, is the Achila, not the Bishul. And I agree 100% that they're not reading like Rav Ashi. They have their own drasha, whatever it is, that sees Basar B'Chalav itself as inherently Aser, not because of the Bishul. Even though it has to be, in other words, Derech Bishul Aser Torah, Basar B'Chalav is Aser if you cooked it. But that doesn't mean that the Iser fundamentally, it is Aser to cook it, but the Iser is not fundamentally a cooking Iser, this is an Achila Iser, and it's also Aser to cook leading up to that. But I think right now in our sugya, that's not what we're talking about.
The only thing I think the only point of contention is that you want to have a more visible sort of something you can label Toeva as, like something that's objectively a Toeva. Well, I'm just saying Toeva could be subjective.
No, you're taking objectively. I'm taking subjectively. You're saying Basar B'chalav is inherently Misu'av. I'm saying that it's only if you did it. Sometimes it is, sometimes it isn't. It would depend upon whether you did an action to lead up to it. Okay, so I want to get a little further in, and we can have this discussion more fully, and I'm prepared to lose, but let's continue on in the Gemara for the moment. Go ahead. So Kilai Yisraim, Kilai Akerim, as you know, what the Gemara is about to say, Kilai Akerim Aser B'hanah, but Kilai Yisraim are not Aser B'hanah. So how do you know, why should you assume that Kilai Yisraim are not Aser B'hanah? Isn't it Kol Shetiyavti Lach? The Torah says, what does the Torah say? Sad Cholos is Rak Kilayim, that's the makar for Kilai Yisraim. So why not say that it's Aser B'chil and Aser B'hanah? Now what's the obvious answer to the question? Yitzi? Kavachomer from Shabbos. Gemara doesn't give that answer, right? So Rashi is bothered by that question later. Rashi says, if you look six lines before the lines get wide in Rashi, right next to the Shmos Yud Beis, if, I don't know if the Oz Vahadar still puts, they don't put them in the margin. Did they put Shmos Yud Beis in the margin? Is that? No. So right next to, it's the fourth to last line in the Gemara. The last line in the word in Rashi there. Who had done the matzi lemeirunami b'chol hani ma shabbos dechamira. On every single one of these, and that's assuming that you have that girsa, you could have pulled out ma shabbos dechamira, and is mutter so to everything else. Umihu Rashi says midi demashkach peruka migufei lo yalef meacharine. Okay, well leave that for the moment right now. Okay, so that's kind of annoying. But fine. Now, go back to the Gemara. Let's finish reading through the Gemara, and then we'll come back and look at what Tosus is. Maybe today, maybe not today. Wilder wants to ask some questions, I'm sure. So continue on in the Gemara. Okay, the fact that Kilaya Karen Tar Asus Kilaya Karen Bhana means Kilaya Sramamotar. How do you know that Kilaya Karen Asur Bhana really? It says Pentik Dash. Right, Chazal Darshan Tukaresh, which is nice because that tells you mitzvah sebesreifa. But even Pshuto Shemikra, Pen Tikdash means to become kodesh. Something that is kodesh is aser b'hana. Okay, so that's how you know Kilai Yisraim are mutter. So now the Gemara says ve'ema. How do you know? Right now we haven't even spoken about an Yisra Hana. We're only talking about Yisra Achila. So I'll agree. Kilai Kerem Zasar Bana, Kilai Zeram, maybe Zasar Bachila. So the Gemara says, okay. So just as crossbred offspring are Mutter Bahana, so too are crossbred plants. Mutterim bachila, yes. How do you know, by the way, that kilai behema are mutter bahana?
Avshalom's writing on the paras.
Well, I wouldn't bring any rayas from Avshalom, but I would bring rayas from David and Shlomo. Some would say don't bring rayas from David and Shlomo, but he tells them to be markiv Shlomo al pirda. Right, okay. So he's riding on a mule. So obviously, you're not going to know anything about the status of Achila, because since it's a crossbreed of a behemoth tmeah and a behemoth tmeah, obviously it's not an issue. But at least for sure, it's mutter banah. There's a Gemara. I didn't make that up. The Gemara says this somewhere. I don't remember where it is, but the Gemara makes this observation. I'd like to claim it as my own, but it's not mine. Okay. So anyway, so that's how you know. How do you know Kalai behema are mutter though? Go ahead. The fact that it asers kiloi as behema lagavoa shows you it's muta lahedyot, because if it were aser lahedyot, you wouldn't need a pasuk to tell you it's aser lagavoa. How do you know, in fact, where does the Torah aser lagavoa? Yeah, so the truth is, Chazal darshan it from Shar Ochesev O'ez Prat Lekilayim. It's interesting, if you look in, I forget which one of the Targumim of Eretz Yisrael, they on phrase, it's either Yonasan, which is not related to Israel, and Neofiti. If you look there, whenever you have something like Par Ben Bakar, he adds in the La Eruvin, means not Kilayim. It's all over the place. So there's an assumption somehow we know that Kilay Behem are not Mutu Lagavoa. And so the fact that it's Neser Lagavoa means that it must be Mutu Lahedyot. Okay. So now the Gemara asks. Go ahead. So Osav Esmenel, let's say you shecht Osav Esmenel Litzar. What should be Aser? Maybe. Whichever one comes second, that's correct, Eli. We paskin Osav Esmenel is mutter, but I think there is... Did anybody here do Shechita, Chaim? Did you learn this in Shechita? Don't they talk about this a machlokes, whether or not it's a knas, not to shecht the other one that day or something like that? So maybe the Gemara's... Maybe it's a machlokes. The Gemara's kasha could be... Well, no, it's obviously post facto. Is there, so there's no Isser Nach... No, that was silly what I just said. There can't be. Obviously, it's Aser Shech, the second one. Does anybody say, is there a Shita in Yeredeh that we do Aser to Knas the Rabbanon? And certainly it's not Aser Medaraisa. So the Gemara says that maybe that should be Aser. Right? And there's an obvious candidate. The second dead one. Okay, so the Gemara says... Go ahead. Okay, so the fact that the Torah asers mechusher zman legavoa teaches you that it's mutter to a hedyot. What does mechusher zman have to do with anything? Once you shecht one, the other is what we call mechusher zman. There's a time bound iser. It's almost like the davar sheish lamatirin when it will become mutter. The real mechusher zman. Where does the Torah aser the mechusher zman? What's that? Yes. Sharo chesav oes ki yivaleid vayosh shivas yamim tachas mimo umiyom hashmini v'hala yiratzelo kabani shel Hashem. And also, in this week's parsha, it says, what does it say?
Isn't there something about
that? And it's in kesef talveh sami. It's right at the end of Perachaf Beis.
Is that different than Mechusar Kapara?
Meleas chavi demacher lo sacher. Bechorbanecha titen li, kein taseh l'sharachar l'tzonecha, shivas yamim yem imo, vayom hashmini titen oli. Okay. So mechusar zman is asur lagavoa, and therefore it obviously it's mutter l'hedyot, otherwise the Torah wouldn't have to tell you that to asur lagavoa.
Is there similar like mechusar kapara?
No. Mechusar kapara is dependent upon an action. If you want an analogy, it's more analogous to Urav Shemesh.
No, it's not. I thought mechusar kapara said you already brought the carbon, but now you have to wait till the evening.
Chas v'cholila. That's Urav Shemesh. There's no such din. As soon as you bring the kapara during the day, you eat kachem right then. No
you
such din.
Okay, I'm completely backwards.
Yes. The din is, there are three stages. Taval, yitzmuta b'masa sheni, harav shimsho, yitzmuta b'truma, Hevi kaparas with muta bekachim. It's a mission, I think, in the 14th parak in the Gaon. It lays out the three-part distinction. Okay. So anyway, fine. So one last shot the Gemara gets. Go ahead. So the question, what does it mean, shiloh hakein litzar? So the assumption for the moment is, we'll start with the first Lashon and Rashi. Okay, we'll eventually deal with the second. Right. Kegon shenatal aseime al abanim ubalafaneinu v'chiyavnu l'shaleach. It's kelekaman is a machlokes whether or not it's a lavanita klase. It's a lasha kidmo ase actually. But assuming that we tell him you have to send the bird away. So what about? So how do you know? Maybe that bird should be usser if someone else catches it. Maybe it should be usser b'achila. Maybe usser b'ana. Now of course one of you guys is going to ask the following question. How is anybody else going to know? What's that? It's not the Tzipor Mitzara question. The Rishonim note the similarities between the two sugyos. And what is the Gemara answer here? Tosis has a kasha because here the Gemara doesn't have a pasuk for this. Go ahead. Shalach litakala. Or shaleach, technically, I guess, yes. The Torah doesn't say send the bird away. It created takala. Why? Because the bird's not going to be marked. So how is anybody else going to know that it's mutter? The Gemara in Kiddushin at the end of the second parak, when it talks about the Isur Hana and Tzipori Mitzora, the Gemara says that there's no Isur Hana on the Meshulachas. on the one that you send away, the iser is only on the bird that you shech. So the Gemara, and they quote two psukim. One to be matir, one to aser b'hana, and one to be matir b'achila hana. And the Gemara says, how do you know which one goes on which? So there are three answers given, but the third answer, I think, is Rabba's, is lo amra Torah shlach l'takala. It's an obvious svara. Dracha darchei noam. The Torah doesn't tell us to do things in such a way that it's going to lead to people being nishal, to lead to types of tragedies. So that's what they invoke here as well. Lo amra Torah shlach l'takala, and therefore, it's inconceivable. It's inconceivable the Torah would have said to, in a case where you already took the bird, and now the Torah still says shalach to shalach mikol makom, to now send the bird away, because then you wind up with a disaster potentially. The kasha that the Rishonim ask is why you need by tzipora mitzara even a pasuk. If the svara here, the Gemara doesn't need a pasuk for this. It's just a compelling svara, and we've discussed this, and I think we talked about this last year. Right? Kra lamali svarahi. Normally, svara doesn't create a new din. You can't invent a din with svara. But in terms of the defining the parameters of already existing mitzvahs and dinim, if the svara is good enough, you don't need a pasuk for it. So here the Gemara felt that the svara is enough, that of course the shiluach hakan is going to mean, the bird is going to be mutar b'achilim hana, because lo amra Torah shlach l'takala. How could it be? So the question is, and why by tzipora mitzara do you need a pasuk to tell you that it's mutar b'hana, and we just use the svara to explain which pasuk goes on which bird? Okay, we'll talk about that, God willing, the next day or two. Okay. Yeah?
It's an easy answer, just because there you have a pasuk which specifically comes to Aseret, but here you're sort of...
I would have said that Derech Agav, once the Torah has a pasuk to Aseret, it's got to give you a pasuk to be Matir. And if the Torah had said nothing on our own, we wouldn't have known what the din was of the dead bird, but we certainly would have assumed that the live bird is Matir. I agree with you. And that could be the pshat answer.
Here we would have applied the Easter of
on our own, except for the Svara tells us we're not going to apply it. Yeah, I think that could be the pshat answer on how to put the two Gemaras together. I don't remember if any of Rishonim actually say that, but fine. Okay, so what we're going to do tomorrow, we'll stop here and we will take our Sunday questions. Tomorrow I want to really do, you should go through all the Tosas. I don't think we're going to spend a whole lot of time. The one that we will read is the big Tosas Choresh. And the one I mentioned about Lomar Torah Shlach Tala is the second from the bottom one. And then we're going to move on to the other derivations of the Amoraim. As we move through them, think about, again, that central point in the whole Sugya Basar B'Chalav, which Bitzal and I were fighting about half of Shir today, which is the question of what is the Iker Iser, Bishel or Achila? So we already saw one Sugya on Gimel Kuf Yudal, the Amoraim don't talk about a Makor, but they talk about a Din, the Shir of the Malkus Yishum. On Nevela, on Bishol and Achila, and now the Drusha of Ashi, which at least I think points in a perhaps a different direction. And as you move through the Drushas of the Tanoim and Amoroim, so think about what exactly is the central Isra involved, Bishol or Achila. I think it's safe to say that Hana we can put on the shelf for the moment, and that's not going to be the driving Isra. But in terms of Bishol and Achila, that's something you want to think about. Okay.